of all, I want to say welcome to the How to Take Charge of Your Time and Your Photography Business webinar. Now, I have primarily put this webinar together today, and the reason for that is this is an area that I feel I have really excelled at and that my father feels I've really excelled at. Now, yes. Dad, you're going to be chiming in a lot as we go throughout here today, but you and I both utilize very similar philosophies when it comes to goal setting and time management. Isn't that correct?
Absolutely. And I have to say to all of your members, all of the members here today, welcome and listen very carefully. Todd is by far the best person I have ever met at managing his time, getting things done, staying on task, being in charge of his life and in control of his day. You will get so much out of this. He's really, truly amazing, and that's why I've asked him to do the basic presentation. I'll throw in anything if I can think of, Todd, but you're so incredible at this. I'm very impressed.
Thank you very much. Well, I appreciate that, and it's no accident that I've become very strict in my time management and my goal setting, because I wasn't always getting things done. I had large periods of my life where I just felt like I wasn't getting things accomplished, and the things to do list was just growing and growing and growing, and I wasn't scratching anything off. In fact, I didn't have a things to do list, so I didn't even know that it was growing, and then I wasn't crossing things off. It was very frustrating because time was just ticking on, and I felt like I could never really get ahead. And once I spent time specifically studying with the experts that are out there on time management and goal setting, I realized all the things that I was doing wrong. And once I implemented these secrets, it was like night and day. I mean, I can even tell it now, Dad, when I go, maybe I'll go one day. You know, when I wake up in the morning and for whatever reason, this day I'm just not feeling like doing my time management prep, which is, it's easy. It's so easy. There's no reason not to do it. It doesn't take that much time. But for whatever reason, this day I decide I'm not going to do it. It's amazing on how different I feel through the course of that day. I feel unfocused. I don't know what direction to go. I don't feel like I'm getting anything done. And then I look at what I got accomplished that day at the end of the day, and it's virtually nothing. All I did was I spent my day putting out fires. I spent my day doing the things that I thought had to be done right now just because it was what was right in front of me. So once you get this system in place and you start utilizing it, believe me, you're never going to go back to the old way of time management, which for, frankly, an awful lot of people is let time manage me instead of me manage the time. So let me get to the proper spot here.
Okay, and the real key here is that, this becomes a habit. We know that it takes 21 days to form a new habit. We also know that you don't really get rid of a bad habit. What you do is you replace a bad habit with a good habit. And so what Todd's going to be walking you through here is how he and I get so incredible much done every day, because it's a habit in our lives. And if you will just stay focused for 21 days, it will become a habit for you as well. You'll see what I mean as we go through this.
Absolutely, and forming a habit is what this is all about. But my goal today is to make the forming of that habit extremely easy for you. Okay, I don't want it to be something that's laborious or that you feel like you have to completely change who you are in order to get this stuff done. Literally, once you start implementing this, this is going to take you maybe 10, 15, 20 minutes a day to properly plan out your day in a way where you're going to be getting hours and hours more worth of stuff done than you ever did before. Now, first, let's talk about why are you here today, okay? Each and every one of you on this event have a slightly different reason why you're here today. Now, we heard from some of you, the members that were on here early, we asked you to let us know what is your biggest challenge in time management. We heard some very specific things. But these are the reasons that I hear from most people of why they feel they need help in time management and goal setting. First of all, maybe you felt frustrated that projects seem to pile up and you can never get ahead. Or maybe you don't have a solid sense of focus and direction on a minute-to-minute basis every day. Maybe your list of things to do list just seems to get longer and longer and you can't cross enough off that list. Boy, Dad, we can relate to that sometimes, can't we?
Sure can.
Perhaps you're having trouble getting and staying motivated and staying on task. We heard that from many, many members before we started the event today. Maybe you're having a feeling that things you're spending the most time working on are not the things that you probably should be working on. And you know what? You're probably right. And we're going to delve into that in just a moment. Perhaps you're looking for a proven and simple time management and goal setting system that you can put into action right now. Well, you're definitely going to get that delivered to you, whether you're ready for it or not. So you better be ready, because we're going to be delivering that today. Or maybe you're feeling a bit unsure about what you truly want, the specifics from your photography business, or for that matter, from your life. And that's where the goal setting portion of this is going to become so important. You'll be amazed at how much easier it is to schedule and manage your time when you actually know what it is you want. Not what it is you feel you have to be doing, not what it is you feel society is demanding from you, but what it is you really want. And that's what we'll get into when we talk about the goal setting today. Now, believe me, you're not alone out there. Dad, you and I have been through this ourselves, okay? Success puts up a fight. It really does. Success is not something that's easy, but you can conquer it. And time management is a key weapon in your arsenal to conquering success and making it your own. You're seeing some names come up on the screen there. Each and every one of these people, or groups when it comes to the Beatles, groups of people, they went through challenges before they were ever a success. In fact, many of them went through many, many challenges. Thomas Edison, you could write an entire book that just listed his quote-unquote failures. But these people persevered and kept going on and on in order to get success. And frankly, I don't know of anyone, not one single success in the world that I have ever heard of, that came without persevering through great challenges in order to reach it. And I challenge any photographer out there that's on this event, any one of our members that knows of a success that was truly a quote, overnight success, where they literally, the first thing they tried, it was a great success, and boom, they were a great success right out of the gate. If you know of that, please let me know, because I'd be very curious to know if that truly was an overnight success. So the key to success, above everything else, is perseverance, not giving up. Trust me, you can have the photography business of your dreams. You can have the life that you desire if you're willing to persevere through the occasional challenge, the occasional roadblock that might present itself. But the first thing that must be done in order to take charge of your time, you've got to take charge of the way you get things done. So how do we go about doing that? Well, first of all, I have a philosophy. This is going to sound a little esoteric to some people. You might chuckle when you hear this, but please take this to heart, because I really, this is not a joke. This is very serious. The way you look at time is very important. That's the first way to combat anything, is you got to kind of know what it really is. Well, I like to think of time as being almost a living thing. Time has its own plan. Okay, its own desires, its own thoughts for what is best for you. If you don't take charge of that beast, it will take charge of you. Now, if I could have you all physically raise your hands and I could see you raise your hands, I would ask you now, how many of you have felt like that? Like, felt like time is running you instead of you running your time? I'd be willing to bet that every single one of you has felt that at some point. Many of you have probably felt that on almost a daily basis, but it doesn't have to be that way. Every moment of every day, you're making a choice of whether to let time run you or to take charge and run it. Now, you're here today, so I think that means that you're ready to pick up the bullwhip and the chair and face down that beast of time and say, no more. You're going to run on my schedule now. You're going to do what I need you to do. So here's what's going to be covered very quickly. Well, I'm going to tell you what's going to be covered very quickly in two different sections during this event today. The first section is going to focus on time management. We're going to cover the biggest time wasters. Number two, we're going to cover what you should and shouldn't be spending your time on. Number three, the habits of successful time managers. And these come from people out there in all different walks of life, all different industries who have had great success. What are they doing to manage their time properly? Number four, the power of PTS time. And, Dad, I know you're going to have a lot to contribute on that. That is one of the keys to your success and longevity in the photography industry.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Number five, how to avoid procrastination. And I will admit to you right now, my name is Todd Lewis, and I'm a procrastination-holic. Procrastination-holic. Yeah. I'll be the first to admit it, okay? Why do today what can be put off until tomorrow? In fact, why do tomorrow what can be put off until the next day, you know? But I have found ways to help avoid procrastination. We're going to cover those today. Number six, tracking your time. I think you're going to find some really interesting stuff in there, and I'm even going to reveal some free software that you can get online that will help you to track your time and see where are you truly spending your time. Is it in the places you feel you should be? Number seven,
crafting. And Todd, I have to interrupt you here because tracking your time is one of the was and still is one of the major keys to my success in managing my time in my life.
It absolutely. Yeah, and yeah, I learned that.
You don't really know learned, if you don't.
Yeah, you know, that I got from you. I watched you with your tracking logs, and I asked you, what are you doing? You said, I'm tracking time. And we'll talk about that during the tracking your time section, and I'll tell you that has been a true key to my success as well.
Yeah, you learn a lot by doing that.
Number seven, we're going to cover crafting powerful action things to do lists. Things to do lists that are going to keep you on task and focused throughout your day and get you taking action. And then we're also going to cover the two types of methods for getting things done fast and on time. Then in the second section, we're going to cover goal setting, where we're going to cover, first of all, goal setting musts for success. Secondly, how to craft your goals. Number three, the blueprint / foundation session. Number four, the construction sessions. And number five, how to stay motivated, on task, and successful. And then, of course, we're going to end with a live Q&A session. Now, I just want to say before we get started here, we're going to keep the questions field open through this event. So if you have a question that comes up, go ahead and type it in that field. Dad, if you see a question that's applicable to something we're talking about at that moment and you want to interject it then, feel free. Otherwise, we're going to do our best to get to each and every one of your questions at the end of this event. We'll do our best to leave enough time to do that. All right. Tick tock, tick tock. Do you hear that? That's your life. Now, you can think of it as your life ticking by, or you can think of it as your life marching forward with vigor. All right? Now, I've got some quotes coming up on the screen here that are from very famous people. And they're all quotes having to do with time. William Shakespeare, one of my favorite authors of all time, playwrights of all time. Better 3 hours too soon than 1 minute too late. Stephen Covey there. The key is in not spending time, but in investing it. You've got to think of your time as an investment, not as something that you're spending. My least favorite phrase on the planet, okay? Now, this is saying a lot, because there are a lot of phrases I don't like, okay? But as far as positive thinking messages, okay, my least favorite phrase out there is, I'm just killing time. Killing time? You're killing a part of yourself, okay? Time is the thing that each and every one of us have a limited amount of. Some of us more limited than others, and we don't know how much limited time we have. So you've got to treat it as an investment, not something that you're spending. And then in the upper right of your screen, you see that little TV screen. You're going to see some quotes from famous people coming up throughout this webinar. You can feel free to take a look at those. I'm not going to single them out, but feel free to read those because I think they're very powerful. Lee Iacocca, if you want to make good use of your time, you've got to know what's most important and then give it all you got. That's goal setting, and we're going to get to that as well. All right, let's talk about some facts about time. First of all, we all have the exact same numbers of hours in each day. No one of us gets a bonus. Not one of us is liked more by the universe or by God or by whatever that says, hey, you magically get an extra hour. We all have the same number of hours in each day, so keep that in mind. There's no such thing as, quote, finding more time to do something. No, we all have the same amount of time. It's all about managing your time properly so that you're focusing that time very well on the things that you feel are most important to be doing now. The general public and most business owners grossly undervalue what their time is worth. There is no doubt in my mind that each and every one of the photographers on this event, you are all undervaluing your time. Now, that's normal, okay? There's nothing, you're not wrong for feeling that, but I want to call your attention to it. Because the more you value your time, in fact, the more you could put a dollar amount on your hours, okay? If you could actually give yourself an hourly wage in your photography business for what you feel your time is worth, if your hourly wage isn't at least $100 to $150 an hour, you are undervaluing your time. I'll tell you that right now. You are not an hourly wage person, but you've got to start thinking of your hours as having great monetary value, because every moment that you are spending investing, not doing the right things in your business, you are taking money out of your pocket.
Yeah, and Todd, you know, the one of the easiest ways to do this is we know that there are 2,050 working hours in a year if you figure on 40 hours a week. So what you do is you say, well, how much do I want to earn a year? And you divide that by 2,050, and you start to get a ballpark figure as to what you've got to bring in every single hour of the year.
Exactly. That's an absolutely great point. If you guys want kind of a formula to go about calculating your, quote, hourly worth, that's a great jumping off point. And then the last thing on here, this is really important. This is what today is all going to boil down to. 30 minutes of focused time management and planning each day will gain you 2.5 hours of productivity. Now, that's not a number that I just threw out there. This is a number that I have proven in my own life. And it's something that I've heard from other people in different industries on how much focused time management and planning will gain you. 30 minutes of planning will save you 2.5 hours of wondering, of not being focused, of putting your focus in the wrong areas, all of that stuff. So this system is going to show you exactly how to spend that 30 minutes. And I'll tell you what, after your first week or so of doing this, it's probably not even going to take you 30 minutes a day. I'll bet you can get that down to 15 or 20. Now, let's talk about the biggest time wasters in the photography business. Now, this is obviously subjective. Each person's going to have their own opinion. But you're studying with my father and myself because, hopefully, you realize that we have a certain level of success in the photography business and that we have had trial and error. We've done a lot of things in our business that didn't work. Our goal is to give you the things that really work. Well, if you're going to follow our system, we've come up with what we believe are the biggest time wasters in the photography business. Some of these, folks, you're not going to like hearing this, but you have to hear it. This is the tough love happening right here. Number one, biggest time waster. These are in no particular order, although I would probably say this could still be a number one. Responding to emails and social media. I know how much time I spend on emails. I don't do much social media at all. I'm just not very interested in that. I think I've realized that it's a huge time waster, and it's not something that I love. I'm not passionate about, so I don't do social media, but I do a lot of email, and I spend probably an hour a day doing emails, okay, if I'm staying unfocused. So that can be a big time waster. Number two, too much Photoshop time. All right, this one probably is number one for almost everybody. All right?
Yeah.
Most photographers spend way too much time on Photoshop. Now, I'm not saying that Photoshop and enhancement of your images is not important. It absolutely is. It's a vital part of your success. Now, whether you specifically, you yourself, have to be doing that work, that's debatable. Okay, you might be able to hire somebody. You might be able to bring somebody in as an apprentice who has some artistic background that you could teach, at least to do the basic retouching, the removing of pimples and zits, you know, the evening out of some lighting and things like that, the simple things that don't take a hugely artistic eye. And then you can go in and do the final touches. But the other thing is you shouldn't be doing a ton of Photoshop work prior to the client choosing which images they're going to invest in. Right, Dad? I mean, do you want to just take 30 seconds or so and talk about kind of your philosophies on Photoshop work?
You've got to be kidding. Yeah, first of all, you get an apprentice who loves photography and is artistically oriented, and you have him or her do your Photoshop work for you under your direction, where as you're walking by, you say, you know, I just want to make sure you fix this, this, and this. And he or she will start to develop the sense of what you want done with each of your images. That's the key thing. And then don't do very much work, in my humble opinion. If you get it in the camera, the key is to get the stuff in the camera. If you get the image in the camera the way you want to do it, which is why you certainly want to use makeup, if you get the image in the camera, then you don't have to do hardly any Photoshop work before you show the images to your clients. And then, of course, keep the number of images you show your clients down to a very small number, which I know is challenging in the digital world, but that's okay. If it were easy, everybody would do this. You want to keep the number down so that their decisions are easier to make and so you don't have to do very much work on too many images before you even show them to them.
Exactly. That's the important key. And I realize that there are a large number of photographers out there that are doing specialty photography, where they're doing a lot, where a lot of Photoshop work is a core part of their images that they're selling. But most of the photographers that we're working with are still dealing kind of in classic photography, and it's mostly retouching stuff. So you're not going to do the majority of that until you have the sale. Then you're going to really go in there and do the nitpicky stuff on delivering the final product to them. But the key here is do not spend too much time on Photoshop. That's not where the money is in your business. If you just cut down the amount of time that you spend on Photoshop by half, and you took that half that you were spending on Photoshop and you moved that into marketing, you will see a marked difference in your business within the next year. I can guarantee you that. I've seen it time and time again. All right.
You know, then, we've got a couple of little questions here that I think are interesting.
Yes, go ahead.
Bruce says, I agree with your dad about shooting. He used a bad word, shooting. We always say photographing. We don't like to use the word shooting. Photographing it right, but the younger photographers grew up with digital and they never learned to photograph it right. And that is exactly correct, Bruce. And that's why you can leapfrog over so many photographers just by concentrating and working on getting it in the camera in the first place.
Yeah, there's a great phrase. I'm a movie buff as well, and have studied a lot of filmmaking and how movies are made. And there's this great phrase which is called "We'll fix it in post," which is, you know, we'll fix any problems in editing, or now we'll fix it with CGI. Well, the photography industry has a very similar phrase. Oh, I'll fix it in Photoshop. Let me just get the raw, basic outline of the image in my camera, and then I'll fix everything in Photoshop. The amount of time that takes is insane. If we were to total it up, it's probably years of your life that have been dedicated to Photoshop that didn't need to be there.
And one other comment from Candy says, Lightroom is a big time saver. Yes, that will certainly help you a lot in saving time, but right now we're just mainly trying to help you realize that you can't be a one-person operation, and the best way is to bring in an apprentice. And we're going to have an Inner Circle members-only event coming up next month, actually, on the apprenticeship program and how you can get people working with you for no pay whatsoever in return for knowledge. And it has I just don't know where I'd be, Todd, without the apprenticeship programming, having people, when I couldn't afford to pay people, having them working with me and helping me to take some of the workload off of me.
Absolutely. It's a great program, and it's a lot easier to do than you think. And we'll be covering that in that apprenticeship program webinar coming up in about a month. Now, the next thing that people tend to waste time on is they have no plan in place. They spend so much time asking what to do next. Well, you're not going to have that problem after today, so let's move right on. Interruptions. All right. We cannot talk about time management without dealing with interruptions head on. Now, you're a business owner. Each and every person on this event today, I believe, is owning their own photography business, or at least that's probably where you want to go if you don't already own one yourself. As the owner of a business, you realize, especially if you have any employees or anybody working with you in any form, you know that interruptions can be a big thing. People coming to you and asking, well, you know, I need help with this, or, where did the Johnson files end up? They're not on the server. Where'd they go? You know, you get interrupted all the time by people, by emails coming in, by being on Facebook and one of your Facebook friends ends up online and you see them pop up. You know, there are multiple ways. Telephone calls that are not business-related telephone calls. We must eliminate or greatly reduce the amount of interruptions that we allow in our life. I'm going to give you some very specific ways to do that as we go through this event. And then the other big time waster is client data management. Spending too much time doing the data management, that is absolutely something you should not be having to do yourself. Computer programs are out there that will help you with it, but you also, your apprentice. This is something you'll definitely be able to have an apprentice or somebody working with you do for you. Now, I also threw this on here. We'll just go through this very quickly. What are some of the biggest time wasters in your personal life? Because your personal life and your business life can get very mixed together. And more time that you allow yourself in your personal life, that gives you more time in your business life, too, because you're not feeling like you're working too hard and don't have enough of a personal life. Well, one of the biggest time wasters is watching television. Okay, I'm not making a judgment. If you like to watch television, that's fine. But it is a big time waster for an awful lot of people. The average American watches about 6 hours of television a day. That's insane. That's insane. 6 hours a day. I don't know where they find the time. Now, I like television. I have certain programs I like to watch and so forth, but I TiVo them and I watch them when I can. But watching television is a big time waster. Surfing the web and checking emails and social media are also big personal time wasters. Again, if you enjoy doing them, that's fine, but you're going to want to take that into account when you're setting your goals and doing your personal time management. So what should you be spending your time on? Let's talk about this before we get into the specifics of exactly how to lay out your day and come up with a schedule that you'll easily be able to follow. In my humble opinion, in your photography business, these are the things that should be occupying the majority of your time. Marketing your photo business, first and foremost. This is the front line. I know we will all agree, your inner circle members, you're above most of the photographers out there that don't know how important it is, that marketing your photographic business has got to be number one. Answering client calls or email inquiries from clients. Okay, Dad, I know you've said this before. Whenever our telephone rings in our photographic business, we used to have it on paper next to every telephone, but now we don't even need it on paper because I think it's just it's instinct now that as soon as that phone rings in the photographic business, the first thing that goes through my head is, this is the most important thing I will do today. That's what I say before I pick up that phone, because I know that is vital. If I don't do that properly, I'm not going to get the clients in here. I'm not going to make any money. I'm not going to be in business in 3 years, and it's not going to matter how great a photographer I am, okay? Now, again, I'm not a photographer, but I'm speaking as the rest of you and speaking as someone who's worked in a very successful photography business for 23 years. The projection session and presenting the images to the clients, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm sure we will all agree and nod our heads, that is something you should absolutely be spending your time on. And then the design consultation and the chat. Okay, now do you see what's in common? What's in common with all those four things that are on the screen right now? They all have to do with dealing with clients and building a relationship. Though there's your number one thing. So if you need like your number one big umbrella to look at whenever you're planning your day, whenever you think of something that needs to be done, ask yourself, is this something that's helping me to build a relationship with my clients and get more clients in the door? Okay.
Hey, Todd.
Yes.
In my PTS time this morning, which is exactly what we're going to be talking about here, is time management and getting organized and prioritizing. I read this from Robert Ringer, one of my favorite authors, and I just thought this was so good I'd have to bring it up. He says, it's extremely important to recognize what's crucial to money-making results and what isn't. No matter on what level you're playing the game at any given time, the important thing is to resist the temptation to be diverted by issues that are not critical to bringing about a, quote, payoff, unquote. And that's exactly what you're talking about right here. On that screen right there is a list of the things that are extraordinarily connected to the payoff.
Yes, and for anyone that's on this event right now saying, Todd, get to the point. Tell me how to manage my time. This philosophy has got to be at the forefront of your mind because we're going to get into next planning your day. And how do you plan your day and how do you pick the priorities? Well, that's all going to come back to this because if that stuff doesn't fit into this category, it is not an A for us. It's not important enough because that's the lifeblood of our business. Now, notice the last one that came up. I think that one's sort of important, I guess, creating photography. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I guess we kind of have to do that too, you know? So yes.
I guess.
I'm not going to say that creating the photographs themselves is not important, but notice it's last on the list. It's the least important of all those things, okay? Because if those other things don't happen, you're not going to have anyone sitting in front of your camera to photograph anyway. All right. Now, what things shouldn't you be spending your time on? Uh-oh. All right. As I'm going through this list, I want all of our members on this event to ask themselves honestly, am I wasting my time on these things? Am I spending time on these things when I shouldn't be? Number one, bookkeeping. Ugh. Okay, I don't think any of us like that, all right? I've never met a photographer who ever said to me, boy, man, you know, my dream had been to go to accounting school, but I got stuck being a photographer, you know? No, you know, we don't tend to love numbers and bookkeeping and all that stuff. Well, good, you shouldn't be spending your time on that anyway. You should be spending your time on looking at the numbers. Okay, from your marketing standpoint, so you know what things you're doing that are working and so forth, and looking at your profit and loss statement. But you should not be the prime person doing all of your accounting, all your bookkeeping. Hire someone to do that. Believe me, it will be money well invested, and they don't have to be a permanent employee that you're paying a salary to with benefits. It can be outsourced very easily. You should not.
Hey, Todd.
Yes, Ken?
Sorry to interrupt, but we have two excellent comments here, which I think should be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
Chris says, I'm surprised you guys didn't include education as a valuable time investment.
Oh.
And Mark said, why isn't learning our craft on this list? That is, listening to webinars, DVDs, et cetera. And I think those are two very good questions.
Those are two very good points. And you're absolutely right. I think further education and study and so forth should be on that list. And I'll be honest with you, you're right. That should be on that list. And the reason it didn't make it on there for me is because I think that's just a given for me. And when we get to PTS time, which we're going to get to in a minute, which is something you're going to devote your time to doing every single day, that's part of your PTS time. And I almost consider PTS time to be a separate little magic part of the day that doesn't fit in with the rest of the day, where you're figuring out how the rest of your day is going to go, and you're going to see how education is going to come into that. And as far as continuing to learn your craft, I do believe that's very important. Do I believe it's quite as important personally as those other things that were on that list? No, I don't, because if you don't do those other things, you're never going to need to become a better photographer. But yes.
That's so true. It's sad, but it's true.
It's very sad, but it's also very true. But I do believe that you always want to be forwarding your craft and forwarding yourself as an artist. But first and foremost, we've got to focus on keeping that business coming in here. Then you'll have more time to schedule on a personal level or a professional level in becoming a better photographer as well. Now, another thing you should not be spending your time on is managing the office. Now, what do I mean by managing the office if you don't have any employees, if you're just a one-person band, okay? Well, managing the office is going out and getting office supplies and doing all these things. That's where your apprentice is going to come in, or that's where you're going to hire somebody to come in and help you with that stuff, because believe me, don't think of giving that the managing of the office and the little piddly things that any human being could do. By giving those things to somebody else, you are not losing money. You're not paying somebody else money out of your pocket to do. What you're doing is you're investing so that you have more time to focus on those other things. And the more time you focus on the marketing and the design consultations, the projection appointments, your profits are going to go up. Believe me, I've seen it happen. Small thinking is a dangerous thing, and small thinking is a penny saved is a penny earned. Okay. Now, that's a great phrase. I believe that was Benjamin Franklin.
Yeah, it actually was one of my favorites.
It's a great phrase. And believe me, everyone in my life will tell you, I'm very frugal, okay?
That's so true, Todd.
I am a very frugal, but the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, Cheap Chuck. You know,
I know, you're right.
But that's a good thing. I'm very careful with money. However, I also realize that a penny saved is not always a penny earned. Sometimes a penny invested will bring you dividends. But again, when we talk about the apprenticeship program in one of our future webinars, we'll show you how you can do it without even having to invest money. But you shouldn't be managing the office, doing all those errands that any human being could do. Okay, and that fits into getting supplies, which is kind of the same thing. But when I'm talking managing the office, if you have employees, you should have one of those employees that's devoted to being the office manager, the person that's just making sure the day-to-day stuff, the bills are getting paid, the doors are unlocked when they need to be unlocked, they're updating your calendar, all that stuff. Somebody that's your office manager. You want to make sure you've got somebody in that position. Website design. You should not be spending your time on website design. Now, I have a caveat here. Website marketing is okay. Now, what's the difference? What's the difference between website design and website marketing? There's a big difference. To me, website design is making your website prettier. I want a nicer font over here, or I want to change the color of the background here, or I want this slideshow to have this music behind it, or whatever. That's website design. That is a waste of your time. You can hire somebody. You can hire a college student to do that for virtually nothing. They'll probably do it for the experience if they're in web design. Now, website marketing you should be focusing your energy on. And that is the wording of the copy that is on your website that's building the relationship, the filming of little short videos of you that are going to go on that website that are going to help you to build the relationship with your potential clients when they visit your site, getting the testimonials that are going to go on that website. Those are things that it's okay, in fact, encouraged for you to invest your time in. And then we already talked about this, so I won't spend more time on it now. Retouching and Photoshop work, you should not be doing that yourself. Okay? If you're an artist and you feel you have to do some of it, fine. But the bare bones stuff, the simple stuff, the removing of pimples, the all that, that can be done by anybody with a little bit of training. And that'll free you up to do the other things. Let's get into the habits of successful time managers. All time managers who are successful at managing their time and getting more things done than any other people, they all have these things in common. And these are things that you're going to want to adopt and make sure you're doing. I love this one. I end up doing this on a fairly regular basis, and it really works. When in doubt, always ask yourself, what's the best use of my time right now? Now, I'll tell you, as you go through implementing all of the secrets we're revealing to you today, you're going to have to ask yourself that question less and less. Because during your PTS time in the morning, as you're planning out your day and scheduling your time, you're never going to question that because you will have already done that thought for that 15 to 30 minutes at the beginning of the day. But when in doubt, ask yourself that question. Eliminate or minimize any interruptions. Have a private workspace with rules in place to keep people from bugging you. Now, we mentioned the importance of eliminating or drastically reducing your interruptions. Here's one of the ways to do that. You have to have a plan in place. If you work with any other people that can come in and interrupt you, you have to have an office, a private workspace, where you can close the door. And you have to let every single person in that office know, Dad, I'll never forget this because I remember exactly how you worded this. To me, when I first started working there, you said, if this door is closed and the building is not on fire, you do not interrupt me.
That's right.
And you worded it a little nicer, but you said, unless the building is on fire, if this door is closed, you do not interrupt me. That is, and you set that in place and you stick to it. That way people are going to be much less likely to interrupt you with piddly little things. And you'll be amazed how many things they can figure out for themselves and get done. Now, you don't keep your door closed all day. You'll schedule in some time where your door will be open, where you'll be working on some stuff that if you get interrupted, it's okay, and you can answer their questions. Dad, did you have something?
Yeah, I was just going to mention in that there were two doors that rule applied to, well, besides the bathroom, obviously. There were two doors. The first door was my office. Because like Todd's saying, you have to have a space that can be yours. Because it's the only way you can think and plan and get stuff done on a schedule. Then the other door was the projection room. Because when we're in with a client in a projection room and we're projecting those images, absolutely no one is ever to interrupt us. In fact, I think I used to say, Todd, if we're in the projection room and the building is on fire, just slip a note under the door.
Yeah, I do remember that.
You know, I mean, that's our life right there. You know, I mean, you don't interrupt. But the main one is the office. Yes, you've got to have a space where you're not going to be interrupted for part of the day and you can get things done on a schedule.
All right, here's going to be a tough one. All right, the tough love's happening right here. I can hear the people out there going, no, you're going to take away my social media. No, I can't live without my Facebook. Yes, you can. You lived for many years, most of you, without Facebook, all right, and email. I'll tell you, one of the biggest things you can do right this second, as soon as you get off this event today, is shut off Facebook. You don't have to quit it. You don't have to never visit it. Don't visit it during the day. Give yourself an allotted 15 or 20 minutes at the end of the day or whatever. That's going to be your Facebook time if you absolutely need to do it. Same with email. Do not, under any circumstances, even in your business, I don't believe that you should have your email program on all the time. And what I mean by that is when an email comes in, it makes a little boom sound or a little envelope pops up at the bottom of your screen saying, you've got mail. No, that's an interruption. That just threw your train of thought. And what's the temptation going to be? Well, let me just take a second. I'll go over and check that. That moment of taking the time to check an email that just came in, statistically, that just wasted. Even if you just check that email, send a quick response, and it takes a minute, That 1 minute of time cost you 30 minutes of productivity. Now, let me explain why that is for anyone that doesn't get this idea, this concept. You're not just losing that 1 minute. What you're losing is the train of thought you were on. If you were in the middle of a major project, you were in the flow. And we all know what that flow is. As artists, as creative people, you know when you're in the zone, when things are flowing. Well, if you were in the flow and you were working on a marketing piece and the words were just coming and everything's working great, and then bong, got to go check this email. Oh, let me respond to that. You go back. Now you got to get back on the train of thought. You got to figure out where you were. You probably go back and read a little of what you just did. When all is said and done, an average of 30 minutes, that little 1 minute email cost you. So shut off your email and give yourself specific time or times in the day that you're going to allot to checking the emails, responding to the emails, then shutting that email back off.
That's a really important point, and Russell had typed in this comment and question. He said, if you are using social media to help market your business, which all of you certainly should be doing, shouldn't this still be done but with a set time? And yes, you're exactly right, Russell, and Todd just said that. You're absolutely correct.
You bet. And I do want to acknowledge, I mean, I know enough, I understand enough about Facebook to realize that Facebook is happening very fast. And things like that, you know, where if you're going to post something, you know, that post for an awful lot of people will not appear on their wall for more than a few minutes because other posts will come in from other people and so forth. So I understand that Facebook gives this sense of immediacy, but I'll tell you right now, it cannot possibly be more important than keeping yourself on task on some of these other things. And Dad, I know, I mean, you are a Facebook hound, man. You're utilizing it extremely well. And I know you've had to put very specific guidelines into place so that Facebook didn't suck up too much of your day.
Yeah, it'll suck it right up. It'll suck it up and take it away just like emails will. You never, ever start your day by opening your emails. You just do not allow yourself to do that.
Absolutely.
You start
not.
Your day with PTS time, and that's where you plan everything out, and we're going to get to that. But the email and the social marketing or social media are very, you allow a particular time of day. And the going rule with all the people that we study with in the other businesses that we study, the going rule is no more than 15 minutes a day on Facebook. Absolutely no more than 15 minutes.
Yep, absolutely. Now again, if Facebook is something that you do for fun, it's something you're doing as an enjoyable pastime, that's fine. Do not schedule it into your business day. Don't let it become a part of your professional goals. Make it part of your personal goals. Now another thing I love to do that can really help with time management is go somewhere else to work. Sometimes a change of scenery can be fantastic, and there are very few excuses to not be able to do that nowadays, especially for your marketing time and things and even your long range planning and stuff like that, because you know, laptops, netbooks, iPads, you know, personal assistants, PDAs, all of those are so inexpensive and readily available that you can go off site and do work somewhere else. Now I like to do that. Usually about 1 day a week, I will go to the local bookstore or to the local library, and I'll work from there on my netbook because it just gives you a new change of scenery. You have less interruptions. If you can stay focused, I'll put my little headphones on, listen to some music. That can be a great way to keep yourself motivated and on task. Big one here. This is huge. Read your goals aloud each day. This keeps you focused and motivated. We're going to talk about that more when we get into the goal setting section, but this is so important to keep yourself motivated. Read those aloud every day to yourself because that keeps you reminded of what's the most important thing that I could be working on right now or what's the best use of my time right now. And this seems obvious, but don't forget about the fun things too. Sometimes they have to be scheduled in. Now, the people in my life would probably hound on me for this one because I'm not particularly good at it. I have to schedule my fun activities in. Now, you may be thinking, oh, but Todd, whatever happened to spontaneity? Do you want to be a success in your life, or do you want to be spontaneous and a fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants person? Now, I'm not saying you can't be both. What I'm saying is you might, as weird as this sounds, you might have to schedule some time to be spontaneous. I know that sounds ridiculous, but maybe what you'll do is you'll say, you know what, I haven't done anything fun and just spontaneous with some friends. You know what, I'm going to take Wednesday night from 7 o'clock until 11 o'clock, and I'm just going to leave it open, and I'm going to do whatever I want with whomever I want. there you go. But you scheduled in some time to make sure you got that spontaneity in. Because sometimes if you don't schedule the fun stuff in, you lose that part of your life, and we definitely don't want that to happen. And lastly,
yeah, one of the people that I have studied with my whole life, Dr. Robert Schuller, Garden Grove, California, has always said that Monday night was his date night with his wife. And he said that is, I always have a commitment on Monday night, no matter what anybody wants me to do, asks me to do, whatever. He said, I'm sorry, I have a previous commitment, because Monday night was date night with himself and his wife. And that's kind of what Todd's talking about, is you have to schedule in these things or your business will just suck up the whole life and you'll have no personal private life at all. It'll just all be sucked up into the business. Because, you know, frankly, that one of the biggest challenges that photographers have is that we love photography. We love what we're doing, and that can really hurt the personal life.
You bet. And I want to stress again that, as I said at the beginning, this is about, see, it's at the top of your screen there. How to take charge of your time and your photography business. Well, your time is also your life. So all of these things are going to apply as much to your personal life, to your spiritual life, to the relationships in your life, as they will to your business. We are talking mostly photography business related today, but that's why it's so important to schedule everything, or at least have an idea of what things are most important to you. All right, the power of PTS time. Now we're getting into the real nitty-gritty. I hope you're taking a lot of notes here, because everything we've talked about so far is the basis of everything you're going to be thinking about as you do the rest of the steps in this program. Now, PTS time stands for planning, thinking, and studying. This is something that you will do every single day for the rest of your life. It's like brushing your teeth. It's like taking a shower in the morning. It's going to be that. It's like relieving yourself when you have to go to the bathroom. You know, I hate to be crude, but that's how you have to think of it. It's not an option. It's something you need to do if you want to truly be successful. What PTS time is planning, thinking, and studying. You will do this every day, first thing in the morning. Now, I could argue that you could do this last thing before you go to bed at night, too. And I've tried it both ways. It does tend to work better, Dad, if you do it first thing in the morning, because it's starting your day off well. It's starting your day off on the right foot. You'll do this for 20 minutes each day. And you're going to do it for the first hour of the day. Now, Dad, I learned this from you. I'm not sure where you learned about PTS time from.
I got it from Napoleon Hill and W. Clement Stone, two of my favorite people that I have studied my whole life.
Okay. Yeah, and I guess I should have known that, because I've studied Napoleon Hill as well. I guess I just – PTS time is so tied in with the way you run your life, Dad, and that I've just always tied it into – I've learned this from you, and it works extremely well. Dad, you're kind of the king of PTS time. So you want to take a few minutes here and talk about the specifics, how photographers should utilize this vital part of their planning day?
Yeah, W. Clement Stone built the largest insurance company in the world. He also worked very closely with Napoleon Hill, one of my all-time favorite people I've studied my whole life, who wrote the great book Think and Grow Rich and a whole bunch of other wonderful books. And as I was studying Napoleon Hill, I got put on to W. Clement Stone. I started getting some of his writings, and he never referred to it as, quote, PTS time. But he just kept saying over and over again, you've got to have planning time, you've got to have thinking time, you've got to have study time. And so I just said, hey, I'm going to call it PTS. So I just, coined that phrase and called it PTS time. Very crucial. Now, we also know, psychiatrists have studied this, and we know that as the first hour of your day goes, so goes your day. So if you get up in the morning behind schedule and you're racing around and you're hurrying, you're throwing clothes on and you're racing to get there, so you meet a client or you're behind schedule on, your whole day is going to go like that, and your life just is going to suck. So what we want to do is we want to take charge. That's what this whole webinar is about today. We're going to take charge of our life and our business. And what we do is we say, I'm going to plan that first hour. I'm going to have control of that first hour. I mean, yes, I own a business. Yes, it's a people business. Yes, phone calls come in, emails come in, social media. Yeah. I have clients. I have appointments. Yes, but I can take that first hour, and I can make that my hour. Because, see, you have a really good head on your shoulders. You're really sharp. You've got a lot of great ideas. And if you don't schedule a plan every single day, where you're going to be able to take advantage of that good head on your shoulders. We're just running around like crazy people trying to get everything done in time and then putting out fires. That's all we're doing. We're missing the incredible benefit that you have in the asset of your mind and getting your attitude right and staying positive. See, if you put positive stuff in right away at the beginning of the morning, what you're doing is you're taking advantage of your subconscious mind that has been working all night long. And it's ready right now. It's open right now. No television, no magazines, no nothing. I'm going to have just me and my brain and my journal to write my notes and my thoughts and read my goals out loud and do my plans and my things to-do list. This is what I call PTS time. So I try approximately 20 minutes for each. I have 20 minutes in the planning part of it, 20 minutes in the thinking part of it, and 20 minutes in the study part of it. So in the study part of it, the 20 minutes you can be listening to recordings, watching videos, DVDs, putting good stuff into your mind, positive stuff. I mostly use that 20 minutes in the morning for the study time just to read people who, Robert Ringer, who's one of my favorite authors. I read the people, you know, Napoleon Hill, W. Clement Stone, Zig Ziglar, Tom Hopkins, Ed Foreman, all these people that have, John Maxwell, for sure. All these people that have had a huge effect on my life, my attitude, my goals, my everything. And so what you're doing is you're planning out. I mean, nobody does this. Think about this. Who do you know? Who do you know besides me and besides Todd that do this? Nobody. Nobody does this. It's not part of our culture. And that's why we're so many people in our culture in the Western Hemisphere are just running around like crazy people, not happy, not fulfilled, nothing, because they don't even really know for sure where they're trying to get to. So you put 20 minutes into your planning. That's where you get your things to do list, and Todd's going to talk about that. We're going to go through the things to do list and prioritize so that I know what I'm doing. If you don't have a things to do list, I mean, do you know, okay, this event is almost got 30 minutes, 35, 38 minutes left to go. Do you know exactly what it is you're going to be doing when this event is over? When this thing ends, do you know exactly what you're going to be doing? Todd does. I do. You've got to plan it out. You plan it out in the morning with your things to-do list and your scheduling, and Todd will talk about that in a couple minutes. All right? But planning, thinking, studying. So the thinking time is where I write in my journal. I think about where my life is. I think about where I'm going. I think about what I want to accomplish. I think about my goals, where I'm headed, why I'm working so hard, why I get up every morning. See how this keeps you focused? Nobody in our culture does this except the really, truly successful people that we have studied with and really respect. And we see this common denominator that these people spend time or invest time in planning their day.
All right, so that's your PTS time. At least, at the very least, start out doing, you know, 5 or 10 minutes of each one of those sections each day. All right, start out by forming a great habit, and you will see that you won't want to do a day where you don't do PTS time. You'll wake up and you'll look forward to the PTS time because it's keeping you focused, it's setting you off in the right direction, and how you start your day helps to very much dictate how the rest of your day will go. And if you start your day off right, you're going to be in the right mindset to get a lot done. Let's talk about how to avoid procrastination. Procrastination is a big challenge for an awful lot of artistic people. Believe me, I can relate, all right? I love my procrastination. No, I don't. I actually hate it. I used to love my procrastination. Now I realize that it's just been holding me back, and it's caused me to have a lot of fires that I have to put out because I left things until the last minute. I'm very, very good at planning my time now and making sure that nothing becomes a fire. First of all, you got to plan carefully. That's what today is all about. You've got to be sure not to get derailed on your things to do. Once we get to the things to do list, which we're coming up here now, you're going to have your things to do list done for your day if you do this properly. So you're not going to let yourself get derailed. You're not going to allow things to come up that keep you from getting the things to do done that are on your list. You've got to be very militant about sticking to that things to do list. Don't allow interruptions. We've already talked about that, so we'll move on from there. Don't allow rescheduling. This is a big one. Once you have your day planned out, you've spent the time, you've invested your brain on planning out your day of what's the best thing for you to be working on. Don't allow yourself to now all of a sudden reschedule. where, oh, you get a call from, you know, your best friend from college who says, hey, you know, I've got some free time. You want to meet for lunch? And you have stuff scheduled. You got to say no. I can't today. I could maybe do it later this week. But don't allow yourself to reschedule. Now, you might be saying, but Todd, I get a phone call, and it's a client, and they want me to photograph them today. Well, I got to reschedule, right? No, you don't. No, you don't. First of all, if you get a client that says, you need to photograph me today, they're probably not going to be a very great client for you, all right? And first of all, we never photograph somebody without meeting with them ahead of time with a design consultation, because we know that those people don't translate into good clients who invest decent money with us. So that's not going to happen, all right? Might you occasionally have an interruption come up that cannot be avoided, on what we call an emergency? Yes, but that's so rare. And don't give yourself that out of thinking of, well, maybe this is an emergency, maybe this is an emergency. You'll know the emergencies when they come along. All you do is, if something comes up that seems pretty hot, seems like it's something you kind of should do today, put it on your things to do list and look at it tomorrow. All right? Tomorrow is another day. That's part of why I don't like to plan my entire week out in advance, although I've done that before, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. I like to plan my day out in advance because it allows for things to evolve over the course of that day that might affect how I schedule things tomorrow. Now, here's a big one too. This has helped me immensely. Schedule the things that you want to do the least for first thing. Get them out of the way early. Schedule the things you don't want to do. For me, these things might be answering emails. I'm not big on answering business emails. I don't enjoy that very much. You know, it takes up a lot of time. So I might schedule that for the first thing. Now, I'm going to schedule it for only a half an hour. I'm not going to schedule it to be ongoing, but I'll schedule it first thing so I get it out of the way. And that way, as the day moves on, I'm doing more and more things that I'm more excited about. And it keeps that motivation going. Rather than looking at my things to do list and seeing the things that I really don't want to do down near the end. And boy, I really don't want to get to the end of the day. Maybe I'll take my time with these other things and then I'll just never get to those things. Procrastination 101. Never allow anything to become a fire. If you don't procrastinate and if you do the things we're talking about today, you're going to have very, very few fires that have to be put out. And by a fire, I mean, you know, something that has to be dealt with right now, or it's going to destroy my business in some way or my personal life. Think about the benefits that you will gain when this project is done. Oh, this is so huge. Always keep that in the forefront of your mind, too. A big reason people procrastinate is the pain, the perceived pain of doing the task is so much greater than the perceived pleasure that's going to come from having the task done. Now, we know that in personal psychology, in human psychology, that people do basically everything in life for one of two reasons, to either avoid pain or to gain pleasure. Well, if the perceived pain of doing the task is greater than the perceived pleasure of getting it done, you're not going to do it. You're going to procrastinate. So always keep reminding yourselves of the true benefits, both short-term and long-term, in each of the things that you have on your things to do list, and that will help you to keep from procrastinating. And then this is huge. Physically, cross things off your list for a sense of completion and accomplishment. This helps so much. I mean, when I go through my things to do list and I'm crossing, now I cross things off digitally. Okay, I'm a computer person and I'll show you how I do that in just a minute. But the act of actually watching that thing get crossed off with a little line through it on my computer, or if you're doing it on paper, you cross it off with a pencil, that is such a feeling of accomplishment. And as you're going through the day, you see more and more things getting crossed off your list, and you realize how much you're truly getting done. Let's talk about tracking your time. If you're serious about this time management thing, well, what you have to do is you have to take a serious look at yourself and how you are currently utilizing your own time. And the best way that I've found to do that is to track your time. And it's exactly what it sounds like. You're actually going to write down or keep track of how you use your time throughout the day. Now, there are a couple of different ways to do this. One is to use what are called timesheets. Dad, this is the way that you've primarily used over the years of doing this. This is how I learned it from you. Yeah. And that's the first way to do it. The second way is to use software, which is the way that I'm doing it. And I'm going to show you exactly the software I use. You can get it. It's free. At least last time I checked, it was free online to get this. And it's called HourGuard. I'm going to show you that in a minute. And you log everything that you do in your day, including meals, interruptions, answering emails, everything that happens, you're going to log that. Now, Dad, you want to talk just about a minute or so about your timesheets, and then we'll go into my software. How did you track your time, or how do you track your time using timesheets?
Yeah, you take a sheet of paper, you know, I do it in like in a Word document or whatever, and I break it down by 15 minutes. So I just, you know, put in, you know, 8 o'clock, 8:15, 8:30, 8:45, 9 o'clock, 9:15, just work all the way down the day. Now as I'm working, based on my things to do list and the plan that I've got in place for the day, I can go and I just every 15 minutes. I mean, this focuses you on how crucial your time is, and it also makes us become very aware of if we're screwing up and not using our time wisely. Because every 15 minutes, I'm just jotting down what I did that 15 minutes, you know. So I just jot very quickly, you know, in the space, and I just do it by hand. And then you just scan this thing over at the end of the day, and you go, holy mackerel, no wonder I didn't get this done today, because look at all the stuff. I did that, and then I went to this, and then I went to that. I never had a time. I never blocked any time where I would do one project for an hour. This is ridiculous. And so you start getting better and better and better at your time management. You don't have to do this all the time. You do it like for a week, and then you take off because you've become so aware of your time. You take off now, and you become better at your time management, better at your planning, better at your things to do list. And then a month later, you do it again when you start to feel yourself slipping and things aren't getting very powerful.
Yes, this is priceless information. Again, you don't do this all the time, but here's an exercise for you. What I want you to do is from the time you get off this event for 1 week, I want you to track your time. Whether you do it with the timesheets or whether you use the software I'm going to show you in a second, it is so easy and so valuable. Because when you that's the important last step in this. I believe I have this on here. I better put that. There you go. Examine the results as part of your PTS time or last thing at the end of the day. I frankly like to do that at the end of the day rather than as part of my PTS time. And the reason for that is I want my PTS time to always be positive. Okay. Definitely. And I don't know that when I look at and I analyze my day, if I haven't been doing my proper time management, I might feel a little negative on how I did that day. Okay. I like to do it at the end of the day when everything is still fresh in my head. All right, let me show you the software I use very quickly. The software I use is called HourGuard, and like I said, I believe this is free online. Disregard that message there. Okay, you should be seeing this, Dad. Are you seeing that on your screen?
Yep.
Okay, this is it right here. Now, it doesn't get any easier than this, okay? I don't even know if there's a manual for this program. I don't know. If you go online, do a Google search for HourGuard, it'll probably be the first thing that comes up. I think it says time management or time tracking software HourGuard. I believe it's still free. The last time I checked, it was free. You download it and you run it, and here's how easy it is. You go in here. I already have some tasks that are set up, okay? And I'm going to show you exactly how to do this right now. You can go up here if you don't have any tasks already set up. You just go up to New Task. You click on New. Go to New Base Task. It's going to ask you what the task is. And let's say it is meet with Chamber of Commerce. Okay, you're going to meet with the Chamber of Commerce to talk to them about doing a speaking engagement that's going to help you with the publicity and marketing for your photography business. Okay, let's say that's what we do. Okay, and then you just go down here. You click on OK. And you see over in this list over here of tasks, you can see that meet with COC appears in that list. Now, all you do is when you're doing that task, you double click on it. And over here, it shows you the start time, and it says it's currently active. And then over here, it shows an hourly rate. Now, I just put an hourly rate of $50 in there. Now, I'm not really concerned with the dollar amounts. But if you want to keep track of even how much money you're spending based on what your time is worth, you can put that in. I just put an arbitrary $50 in there. It really should be much more than that. But down here, notice this. The timer's counting. And it's going to keep counting until you either click on this button right here, which is Stop Current Task, or you double-click on a different task, which will end this one, and it'll say that you've started on the next one. It can't be any simpler. So now let's say, okay, we're done with that meeting. It lasted a whole 45 seconds. And the next thing I'm going to work on is I've got to do a phone call to a client. Boom, I double click on that. Now phone call to client is currently active. Notice it stopped meeting with the Chamber of Commerce. It has a duration of 52 seconds. Okay, it would obviously be much longer than that unless it's a terribly done meeting. And this is how you keep track of your time. Now, here's the really cool part. That's how easy it is to track your time using this software. What I really love about it is this button right here, the reports. You can view now a report at the end of the day. And let's say, I'm not going to have much in here. Obviously, I only have two things with a very short duration, but you'll get to see. All you do is you go down here and you select the date that you want for the report. So we're going to do start date of 1-6. Let's do 1-6 of 2011 through 1-6 of 2011. And you click view. Disregard that message. You shouldn't get that. It's an error message because of my operating system that I haven't been able to figure out. But anyway, here's what's going to come up. It's going to show you, broken down, exactly how much time was spent on each thing throughout the day, and then it's going to give you a total time for everything. So let's say you do multiple phone calls with clients throughout the day. Well, all those multiple ones will come up as multiple instances, and it'll give you a total time that you spent on the phone with clients for that day. Absolutely priceless, and you can do it for any period of time. You can do it for a week. You can do it for today. You can do it for however long you want. It's that simple, and that's all you need to do to keep track of this utilizing HourGuard. All right.
Now, Todd, I'm getting several messages from people saying, yes, HourGuard is still free.
Okay, good. I checked it again quickly last night because I wanted to make absolutely sure, and it looked like it was still free, but I didn't read everything. But, yeah, it looks like it's free, and the reason it's free is I think they have other software that they have available for business owners that, you know, if you like this, you might like this kind of thing. I have not had any issues with noticing any spyware or any problems with the software, and I've been using it for a long time. So you shouldn't have any problems with it, but I'm not a tech guy, so but it's so very valuable. All right.
Now, Chris asks, is it available for the Mac? And I don't know.
That is a good question. I don't remember seeing it on that page for the Mac, but you could check it out. If not that one, I know there are other pieces of software out there, too, that are probably either free or there's shareware for like $14-15, very inexpensive. There should be something comparable that you could get out there for Mac. Just do a search for time tracking software in Google and see what comes up. All right, let's go into your things to do list. This is something you are going to live and breathe with. Your things to do list is never going to leave your side. It's a part of you, like your arms and your legs and your brain and your camera when you're in the camera room. You've got to utilize a things to do list. Otherwise, you're just functioning day to day, wandering around aimlessly. So this is so important. It's the foundation of your time. You can either handwrite it or you can use software. Now, my dad handwrites his things to do list, and we're going to show you how he does that. But I'm also going to show you the software I use, which is a very simple piece of software called Microsoft Outlook. And I'm going to show you exactly how I do my things to do list. Make sure you have this with you all day long in some form. Now, if you're handwriting it, it's easy because you just take the handwritten version with you everywhere you go. If it's on software, you've either got to have something with you. I always have my netbook with me. I've got a little netbook that goes with me everywhere I go. And that has my things to do list on it. So I can update it. I can view it. I can do everything. It's got all my stuff on it. But if you don't want to do that, you can always print out your things to do list if you do it on software and just put it in your pocket and take it with you. And you just check the things off as you're going along. And then you update it at the end of the day when you evaluate your progress for the day. Now, there are two different basic ways. I mean, I'm boiling this down to the nitty-gritty. There are two basic ways to properly manage your time. The first way is called scratch and go. The second way is make a date. We're going to talk about both of those very quickly right now so you can see exactly how to do them. Let's start with the scratch and go method. Dad, this is the one. Now, I've utilized both of these. I like both of them very much. And at different periods in my life, I've liked different ones. I tend to use the make a date method, which we'll talk about in a minute. You're still using the scratch and go method, which works extraordinarily well also. How this is done is, first of all, you build your master things to do list. And your master things to do list is basically a list in no particular order of all the things that you need to get done in the short term, in the near future. Now, it's going to be a long list. Our lists are long. I'm not going to kid you. They're long lists. But you want to build that first master list so that you know that everything you need to get done is on there, so nothing's going to get missed. Then you pick the top six items from that list to work on today. This is so simple, and yet so few people do it. I mean, this is the simplest time management approach I've ever seen, and it's so effective. Then you're going to prioritize them in the order of importance, those six items only that you're going to work on today. And then you're going to work on number one until it's done. Then you're going to move to number two until it's done, et cetera, et cetera. All right? Dad, you want to take about 60 seconds or so very quickly and just add anything you want to add to the scratch and go method?
Yeah, what you do is you write everything down on the left-hand side of the sheet of paper, and you just write it down in whatever order as you're thinking through the day as something. This is my things to-do list you're seeing right now. And on the left-hand side, you see it says listed at random. And you just write down those items as they come to you during your day. You think of something, oh, man, I got to remember to do that. Well, you just jot it down on the left-hand side. Wherever you can see how the top part has more space. The first 8-10 lines have more space between them. And then they get smaller because I have a lot of things on my things to do list. And I also carry over on the right hand side, you can see over there where it says more listed at random down below, because I need, that's where you just write it at random. Then you go through and you prioritize what's on that list, and you pull out those things, you mark them. I use an asterisk. You mark the things that are extremely crucial, very important to your achieving your goals, which we're going to talk about your goals here in just a minute. All right. Then you take those six top things, the six most important things that you have determined that are top-notch most important things to you achieving your goals, and you put them over on the right-hand side. You can see it there at the top, my top six things in order of priority, and you put them in the order of their priority. Then you start with number one and don't stop until you're done, or if you get interrupted or you have an appointment, you simply stop. Do the appointment, go back to it, pick right up where you left off. This is why we always know exactly what we're going to do at any moment. I mean, I know exactly what I'm going to be working on the minute this event is over, and so does Todd. That's how I do it.
And again, I used the scratch and go method for many, many years, and it's still effective. And some days, I'll be honest with you, some days I still use the scratch and go method. If I just, for whatever reason, don't have the time and I've got something, you know, something just isn't going right, I'll do the scratch and go method as well. But I tend to like the second method a little bit better because it's a little more specific. It's a little more to my style. And that's the make a date method. And the reason I call it the make a date method is that's what you're doing. You're making a date for each one of your items so that you have a specific time allotted to do each one of those items. Here's how you do it. Yes.
If I could just interrupt a second, Lee has sent me a message saying, Todd, you keep dropping out on audio intermittently. Now, I've been listening to you, and you sound fine to me.
Okay.
But if this is an my suspicion is that it's the, okay, Cindy says no, sounds fine here. So I suspect that it's Lee's internet connection. Maybe he's got too many things open at one time. He's accessing the internet with too many programs at one moment.
Yeah, it could be a ton of things. The technology, this is so particular to each person's computer and internet connection. Lee, I apologize if I'm coming and going. Hopefully you can hear me apologizing for that, but hopefully it will come back to you. But if anyone else is having huge problems with audio, please shoot us a message so that we know. But it seems
I'm getting a bunch of messages now that say you're sounding fine to them. So
okay,
thank you,
great.
Everybody, for letting us know.
Okay, thank you very much. All right, so here's how you do the make a date method. Number one, build your master things to-do list. That's exactly the same as on the scratch and go method. Then you're going to pick the items to work on today. So you're going to go through there and you're going to pick the things that are most important or most desirable or whatever for you to do today based on your goals. Then you're going to schedule each item at a specific time. Now, I'm going to show you exactly how I do this. Then stick to the schedule. It's that simple. And then, of course, note, this can be done daily or weekly. Now, I've done this both ways. I've done it where I've planned literally my entire week out, where I took a part of my Sunday, Sunday afternoon usually, and I would sit down and I would plan out my entire week. I've tended not to do that as much because I've noticed things come up sometimes that I can't wait for a whole week to deal with, so I need to schedule those in, and then I have to move things around, and I don't like doing that. We know that that is a way to make sure your method of time management does not work. So I go now on a daily basis. So I am doing a brand new things to-do list with scheduled times every day. Let me show you exactly how I do that. I am using a very simple program called Microsoft Outlook. it doesn't get any simpler than this. I mean, I don't remember if this is part of Microsoft Office. I don't remember how you get Microsoft Outlook. I think it's part of Office. But if not, it's got to be pretty darn expensive. And if you don't want to use this, you don't have to use this program. There are any number of programs out there that will do what I'm going to show you how to do here. I'm just going to show you how I do it. Now, what you're seeing here on your screen is this is my whole big, massive things to do list. This has all my stuff on it. And it's all broken down into categories, and I'm not going to get into all those categories for you. I've got a lot of stuff going on in my life, obviously, as we all do. But I like to break my things into categories rather than just having a big, massive things-to-do list. I like to have my murder mystery stuff in one category. I like to have my real estate stuff in one category, my search engine optimization in one category. But what we're going to focus on right now is the photography studio. Now, I just made this one up because all of the stuff that I'm doing for the photography business is actually peppered through all my other categories. So I just created this one for an example for us to use for today, and I just threw four things in there very quickly. So here's how I would schedule my things to do. I would start out by going through each and every one of my categories, and I would open the categories, look at each item, and decide whether that's something I should be doing today. If it is, I'll go over here, I'll click over here on due date, and I will select today. Boom. Now it schedules that as something that I plan on doing today. And let's go ahead and do that for all four of these things right now. I'm just going to go down here and I'm going to say today. For all four of these things, they are things that I want to get done today. Boom, pretty easy. Okay. Now, once I've done that and I've gone through all of these categories and I've decided which things are important for me to work on today, and then I will open my calendar. I'll right-click on calendar and I'll open it in a new window. So now you're seeing my calendar with today, okay? And this is just a sample calendar that I've got up here today, which is why it's blank. We all know that my calendar for today is not blank.
Yeah, not at all.
Not at all. Then what I'll do is I'll put these two windows next to each other, and then I'm just going to drag each one of the items that I chose to do today into a specific time on my calendar. It doesn't get any easier than that. So let's say contact Center Point Mall about exhibit. All right, well, I'm doing this first thing in the morning. So let's say it's, 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning, whatever, and I'm doing my PTS time. Well, I'm going to schedule this in as contact Center Point Mall about exhibit. I'm going to schedule that in at 10 o'clock because I'm figuring they're probably not going to be in the office until about 9, and I don't want to call them first thing in the morning. So I'm going to schedule that in. It's going to come up with a little reminder. I can drag it wherever I want on my calendar. I'm going to do that at 10 o'clock, and I think it's going to take me about a half hour. Done. Now I'm going to go to my next thing, prep email newsletter to VIPs. All right, let's go drag that onto my calendar. I go up here and click on save and close. It's just doing automatic reminders for me right now that are coming up. That's what you're seeing there. And I will drag that to, I'm going to do that right after my Center Point Mall thing because I'm going to kind of be ready to start working on my newsletter. And I think that one's going to take me about an hour. So I'm just going to grab the bottom of it and drag it down. So now from 10:30 till 11:30, I'm prepping for my email newsletter. Now I want to have some lunch in there, so at 11:30 I'm just going to go in here, I'm going to double click there, and I'm going to do lunch. And I'm going to take an hour for lunch because I don't want to be too rushed. I'm scheduling my lunch in there as well. And see, now it's coming up with a reminder telling me it's overdue because this time has passed. We are actually at the middle of the day now today. So it's telling me that this is overdue, which is why these reminders are coming up. And let's see, print new lift cards. Let's go do this one in the afternoon so it doesn't come up with a reminder. Let's go ahead and drop this in here. Save and close. Dismiss that reminder, which it did anyway. And I'm going to drag that down. We're going to do that at 4 o'clock. And that's going to take me about an hour. So you can see I'm going to have everything scheduled for my day, including my fun activities, including my workout. My workout gets scheduled in at a specific time. Now I know what I'm going to do today, and I'm not going to let anything interrupt me for the rest of the day. Now I could spend a little bit more time showing you this, but I think you get the gist. Dad, do you think that makes everything relatively clear on how to use Outlook for that?
Yep. I like to use handwritten. The downside to doing it by hand, but it's really not a downside. The thing about doing it by hand is that each day you write a new one. So you take it off the old list, those things that are not scratched off, and what that allows you to do in your 20 minutes, you're investing 20 minutes of your morning, of your PTS time to do this, is it allows you to think through as you're writing these things by hand, and you're thinking through, do I even need to do this? I mean, maybe I should just scratch that off. That's not even important. And it just helps me. But Todd is extraordinarily effective and extremely good with his time. And so I have to say that he's really got this down to a modern-day science.
I just want to say that I'm doing the same thing. The only difference is I'm not rewriting them. So I'm looking at literally every single thing that is on my master list. I'm looking at every day. But instead of rewriting it down, I'm just deciding whether is this something I work on today, or I can even schedule it in for tomorrow so that when I look at it tomorrow, I already have it scheduled for some time tomorrow. Then tomorrow I just have to decide what time I'm going to do it. But whichever method you use, stick to it. It falls upon you and only you to make sure that you stick to the system. It will work for you. You've just got to trust it. You've got to do it. You've got to formulate that habit. Now, let's move on to the second section here. This will go a little bit quicker, but I can't talk about time management and getting things done and being a success without talking about goal setting, which is the backbone to your success. Now, in 1979, the new graduates from the Harvard's MBA program were interviewed, and they revealed that 84% of those graduates had no specific goals at all. 13% of them had goals, but they were not committed to paper. And 3% of them had clear written goals and plans to accomplish them. Now, in 1989, 10 years later, the graduates of that class were interviewed again, and here's what was discovered. The 13% of the class who had written goals were earning on average twice as much as the 84% who had no goals at all. But, even better, the 3% who had clear written goals were earning on average 10 times as much as the other 97% put together. Now, do you think that says writing down your goals, having specific goals, might dramatically increase your chances of success in life? Absolutely. And why is that? Because without a specific goal, you're shooting blindfolded and without a target. If you don't have a specific target in mind, you're basically saying that you don't care where your arrow lands. You're basically saying, I don't care what happens in my life. My life's just going to happen. It's going to go where it's going to go. That is such the wrong way to live your life. You have so much more power over your life and your direction than you ever thought, and goal setting's the key. So here's some goal setting musts for success. Number one, your goals must be written down. Number two, they must be very specific. You've got to be specific in how you word them. They've got to be measurable goals. It's not just enough to say, I want to make more money in my photography business this year. You have to say how much more. And they have to have a specific deadline. You've got to say how much more and by what specific date do I want to have achieved that new income. Use long-term, medium-term, and short-term goals. Very important. We'll talk about the specifics of that in a minute. And realize that goal setting and achieving them is exciting. So let's talk about the first part of building your goals. In building your goals, you're building, in essence, the home of your life. Now, we all know that the key components, the three key components to any strong structure, whether it's a building or the home of your life, you have to have these three things. Number one, you got to have a blueprint, which I think the long-term goals, your long-term goals are the blueprint of your structure. Number two, you've got to have a foundation on which you build the structure. And those are going to be your medium-term goals. And then number three, you've got to have the actual construction, the wood, the cement, all of the stuff that's done to build the rest of the structure. And those are your short-term goals. Let's talk very quickly about how to craft your goals for maximum success using the blueprint slash foundation session. What you're going to do is you're going to schedule a goal-setting blueprint foundation session with yourself right now. Set aside between 2 and 6 hours for this. Now, I know that sounds like a lot, okay? I know. But this is so worth it. These 2 to 6 hours will be the best 2 to 6 hours you will spend this year. I can promise you that. Do not let yourself be interrupted or reschedule this session. During this time, you're going to create your list of long and medium-term goals. Once this goal-setting master session is done, you will work on the short-term goals to ensure that you reach the goals that you just set. So let's talk about the goal-setting blueprint foundation session. Here's how you do it. Start with building a list of your long-term goals. 5 years or more. I consider any goal that is 5 years out or more, this is considered a long-term goal. This will give you a sense of what's really important to you in your life. Okay? Be sure that you put specific deadlines on these goals, and be sure that you do this for all areas of your life. We're not talking just your photographic business, but also do your relationships, your recreation, personal growth, all the different aspects that are important to you in your life. Then when you're done with that, you're going to build your list of medium-term goals. These would be goals that will happen from 1 year out to 5 years. Okay? And do that the same exact way as above. Specific deadlines, and do it for all areas of your life. Then you're going to refer to the Success Blueprint, if you'd like, for more information and forms you can use. The Success Blueprint is a guidebook that I've written that also has some forms that will help you in planning and doing your goal setting. You can download that on the membership site. If you just go to the membership site at cjlewis.com/icmembers, put in your login information. Once you get there, just type Success Blueprint into the search bar, and it will come up, and you can download that, and it will help you in setting your goals. For your short-term goals, this is what I can...
Okay, Todd, I'm getting several questions and comments. One from Tina just said, whew, and asked, is this going to be accessible as a recording? This end part is going extremely fast.
Yes, yes, it
and
will.
I did tell her yes.
Right. Providing we don't have any technical issues, we are recording this. So unless something horrible goes wrong, this will be up on the membership site probably within a couple of days so that you can go back and replay that. I apologize I'm going so fast, but I do want to get time for some questions. Apparently my time management skills for planning this webinar out aren't going as well as I had hoped, but there's so much that goal, that time management stuff is so important. I really wanted to be able to get into detail. The Success Blueprint will go into more detail on your goal setting. So
and this replay, this entire event as a replay will be up, so you'll see all the slides as well as all the audio.
You bet. Absolutely. All right, so your short-term goals, here's how you do it. You break each one of your medium-term goals down into the steps it will take to achieve it. Now, I know this sounds like a lot of work. It's really not that bad. It's really not as much work as you think. It just takes some time and some focused energy, but it's so important to being successful. Then you schedule those items into your things-to-do list, as we talked about before, in the order that they must be done. And then, of course, evaluate your progress each week and adjust as needed. So, you know, if 1 week you don't get everything done that you had planned for that week, just make some subtle adjustments, but don't give up. You're not going to get everything done exactly on time, but that's okay. Don't get frustrated. But you've got to make sure that you evaluate your goals and your progress to make sure that you're moving forward. All right? Very important. Now, stay positive, stay motivated, and believe in yourself. Believe that this will work for you. You're forming new habits here. Be sure to give the system a chance. It really will work for you. I can't stress it enough. The days that I don't do this stuff are days that feel empty. They feel like I just didn't get enough done. I got a lot done. I mean, I spent a lot of time working on stuff, but I didn't get anything of substance done. And I certainly didn't get the things done that I felt I needed to get done. So remember, the only difference between a big shot and a little shot is that a big shot is just a little shot who kept shooting. So don't give up on it. Form this habit. Give yourself 21 days of absolutely doing all the things we talked about here, and they're listed right there on the screen for you, all the stuff that we talked about today. Take action on all of those things, and you will find yourself in command of your time instead of your time being in command of you. And there's a little quote there. I left off with a quote from myself. This is how I feel about time, up in the upper right-hand corner. Time will always move forward. You can't stop it. It's up to you whether it moves forward with you or without you. All right. We've got 2 minutes for questions. No, I'm just kidding. We have 2 minutes left until this was supposed to officially end, but I promise you we're going to stay on for 5, 10, 15 minutes longer. I want to answer as many questions from our members as we possibly can. I want to thank everyone. I apologize for having to go so fast there near the end on the goal setting. But, again, I encourage you to download the Success Blueprint. It goes into much more detail and will give you more ideas on how to plan those sections of your goal setting life. All right, Deb, shall we open this up to some questions?
You bet. If you have a question, please keep it as brief as possible, but type it into the questions field, and we'll do our very best to answer as many questions as we humanly can. Keep it on topic. Keep it on the topic of time management, goal setting, organizing your life, things like that. But one that came in here, Todd, from Stephanie, she's asking, please repeat the online link when you're done. And that's simply the membership, Inner Circle members membership site, which is www.cjlewis.com/ICmembers. So you go there, then it'll ask you for your username and password, which each one of you have, and then you put that in, and then there's a search engine, an incredibly powerful search engine up on the right-hand side of the membership site. You type in, what did you say to type in, Todd?
It's there on the bottom of their screen there. Type in Success Blueprint, and you'll be good to
there
go.
It
all
is.
That information's right there at the bottom of your screen.
Right on. Let's see here. I'm looking carefully through all the questions are just pouring in here.
Okay. And while I'm answering the next one, you can look for the following question.
Kendall says, my biggest time problem is clients who change or cancel appointments at the last minute. I'm always afraid my inner rage will become obvious, so I overcompensate by being too accommodating. I'm not sure there's a question in there.
Well, I've got a couple things to say to that, first of all. The first thing I would say is it's going to be unavoidable. You are going to get cancellations and rescheduling. That just happens, okay? Now, when that happens, here's something that I think will help you, is what we don't want to have happen is when you do get a cancellation or a rescheduling, I don't want you staying focused on that, because that can feel like a negative thing, especially a cancellation. What I want you to do is I want you to have on your list of things to do, you're going to go back to your things to do list. You're going to immediately pick a couple of things that you can have in what I like to call reserve. Now, I didn't get to talk about this before. If you're doing a lot of scheduling that where people can cancel and so forth, what you want to do is you want to have some things in reserve. These are things that you can schedule into your day if someone cancels. And they're relatively simple things. Usually I like it to be something that I will look forward to doing, but it's still business related, okay? And it can be scheduled in it for a relatively short period of time. So let's say we had a design consultation that had to reschedule, and I had it scheduled in and she calls today. Oh, well, shoot, I've got my day scheduled out. Well, I'm removing an entire hour for a design consultation. Well, when I take that out, I immediately take one of these reserve items and I pop it into that hour. Now what I'm doing is I'm not looking at that design consultation appointment's no longer on my calendar, so I'm not looking at it going, oh, man, there's an hour wasted. Oh, she didn't come in. Oh, no, now I'm looking at a new thing scheduled in there all ready to go, and when it gets to that hour of the day, I don't have to ask myself, what's the best use of my time now? It's already been done for me.
Okay, this comes in from Barry. Do you print this list out and carry it with you because it is tied to your computer? And, yes, Todd had mentioned that. He's been going quite fast here. But the answer is yes. You can print it out if you want to. Todd takes it with. He has one of these. What do you call those netbooks?
Yeah, I've got a netbook. I take it with me on. If you have an iPad, or if you have, you can take it with you on an iPhone. However you're doing it, but take it with you. But yeah, until I got my netbook, I would print it out and I would just take it with me along with a little pencil that I could scratch things off as I got them done.
Yep. Shannon says, what is the difference between a goal and a to-do item?
Your to-do items, for the most part, are goals. Okay, they're usually the more short-term goals that are going to end up on our things to-do list. They're the short-term goals that are helping us to reach our medium and long-term goals. So an item on your things to-do list is indeed a goal. So kind of treat those the same way. But those are your short-term goals that are on the right-hand side of your list or just on your master list. And then those get moved into your scheduling for the day as you go along. And that way you're achieving goals as you're doing the things on your things to-do list.
Okay. Fred says, this is kind of interesting. It's kind of on topic, but not quite. When we are transitioning into having chats, and those are what we call design consultations, pre-portrait chats, but it is not always possible to lock the door. Well, actually, Fred, we do lock the door. Occasionally we have walk-ins while we're doing a chat. What's a good thing to say to people when I have to talk to them face-to-face when they interrupt the chat?
Okay, I'm gonna interrupt that chat right there and say absolutely lock the door. Do not allow walk-ins when you're doing a design consultation. Nothing is going to kill the momentum of a design consultation more than another client walking in. Now, you may say, but then I'm turning away a client. I don't want to do that. I can't turn away a client. A bird in the hand is worth more than, what is it, than 10 in the bush? Or what? I can't remember what that phrase is. But the person that's there for the design consultation is far more qualified, potentially, than this walk-in that just came in off the street. Now, we don't allow or encourage walk-ins anyway. Lock the door when you're doing a design consultation. Put a sign on the door that, if you have to, that says, we are open by appointment only. Please give us a call and we'll schedule an appointment for you. Absolutely, that design consultation is far more important every single time than that walk-in.
Yep. Sarah says, the last 30 minutes were so fantastic. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Teaching people how specifically to manage time goals and the tools you use to do it is priceless. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Sarah. It's my pleasure. And now I'm going to ask that you do me a favor and you just take action on this. Everyone out there, I want you to take action on this when this is done. You will see a difference in your life, your photography business. I can guarantee you that.
Aaron says, I work from my home, and right now I have very little capital, so I am the man wearing all the hats. I find I am not having enough time to get marketing completed and in place. Any magical suggestions?
Use everything that we revealed to you today. And make sure, remember, going back to that very early slide where I listed the things that you should be working on and the things that you shouldn't be working on. And remember, marketing was number one. Well, you've got to treat marketing as number one. Always make sure that you are devoted. I mean, if you need to, here's how I would do it. I mean, if you want a practical, bare-bones way to do it, is in your PTS time when you're scheduling out your day, make sure that you're scheduling at least 2 hours a day for marketing. There you go. Schedule it in there. In fact, I would get more specific on what marketing am I working on. I wouldn't just say 2 hours for marketing, because then you can sit there and spin your wheels and go, well, what marketing should I work on? I would get more specific into it and say, you know, during this hour, I'm going to work on this newsletter for our VIPs. And on this hour, I'm going to work on the next version of our lift cards that are going to go up on the exhibit for family photography. And that way, and you treat those blocks of time, those things that you've scheduled in, treat them as if they were an appointment with a client. They have that much weight. They're not going to get rescheduled. They're not going to get bumped. Nothing is going to interrupt them. It's as if you have a client coming into the office. The only difference is that client is your life, your future, your photography business.
Right on. Rafi, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, Rafi. Rafi says, thank you for a great time about time management. Very much valuable info. Now I need to check my email and do social media, some retouching, bookkeeping, buy office supplies, and then he's got a smiley face.
Nice. I like that. But you can see, once you start doing this, and once you start actually tracking your time using the HourGuard program or just doing it on a sheet of paper, do it however is easiest. Whatever's going to get it done, just do it. Once you start doing that and you start looking at how your time is spent, you'll be amazed. That you're using your time a lot less on the things that you probably think you should be than you realize. And that's why that's such a valuable part of evaluating your progress and evaluating your time management skills.
I'm sorry if I can't get to all these questions. They're just pouring in here. Alex asked, what is the Mac equivalent for transferring to-dos to a schedule for my laptop and iPhone, and I don't know the answer to that.
I unfortunately don't know the answer to that either. I know there's something, because this is the most basic thing. I mean, everybody needs a calendar and a schedule and a things-to-do list. So I'm sure there's something that will work. In fact, Microsoft Outlook, there might be a version for Mac, but I don't know for sure. But just go online and just do, calendar or scheduling program for Mac and see what things come up. As you saw, the things I was doing in Outlook were very simple. It was just building a master list and then being able to schedule what day for each item. And then on the things for today, I drag them over, place them in my calendar on the time that I want to do it. There's nothing in there that the most basic of calendar and scheduling programs won't do for you. It doesn't have to be anything fancy.
Chantel says, this has been amazing. I love your webinars. You both rock. Well, thank you, Chantel. That's
thank you so much. Well, it's our pleasure. Absolutely.
I think R-H-Y-S, I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce that, says, I track my time with using my BlackBerry and using the alarm to remind me. Okay.
Good.
This was all great. Cheryl says, yes, there is a version for Mac, Outlook Express. So there is an Outlook Express version for Mac.
Okay, and I'm using Outlook. I'm not using Outlook Express. I think Outlook Express may just be for email, so I'm not sure.
Right.
You'll want to check on that.
Try iCall for Mac. It will come down into your phone when you sync. That was from Shannon.
Okay.
Mac is scheduling call. I plan.
Yeah, why don't you just find me another question real quick, and while I'm answering
I'm
that,
looking.
You can look for another.
Do you charge a retainer fee to hold clients' appointment time? If they don't show, how do you handle the retainer fee? Do you keep it as time lost, or do you credit it to their creation fee or portrait order? No,
okay.
We don't do that, Phil.
Yeah, I can answer that one while you're looking for the next question. No, we do not do a retainer fee. What that is that's just immediately putting up walls. It's giving them reasons not to come in. Remember, the design consultation, our only goal is to get them in there in person so we can chat with them and continue building that relationship with them. So last thing we want to do is give them any reasons not to show, which giving a retainer would be. But what we do is, in our telephone conversations, we are doing a lot to pre-qualify them so that by the time we're booking that design consultation, we're fairly certain they're going to show. Do they all show? No, you're always going to have cancellations. Now, when it comes to the photographic session, we obviously do the creation fee, which is prepaid and goes toward the,
yep.
the creation of the photographs. But for the design consultation, we don't.
Interruptions are such a huge challenge. Right now, the dog is scratching to be let in, and the cleaning lady is here. My office is a desk in the back of the living room, not a question. I'm just venting. That's from Candy.
Okay. And, Candy, I will say, I believe me, I know exactly where you're coming from, and you're the only person that has the power to keep these interruptions from happening. Now, I'm not saying leave your dog outside to freeze. You know, we don't want that to happen. Let the dog in. That's okay. But now you have some ideas maybe of how to take action and keep these interruptions from being too prominent. And I'm willing to bet that an awful lot of these interruptions, when you really look at them, are things that you might have more control over than you think. So really take that onus upon yourself to let everyone else in your life know that you can't easily be interrupted, that it's very important that you have this time to yourself to focus.
And I just have to read this one. It's from Tom Yazzie, longtime member. He says, "Happy birthday, Chuck. Now, if you don't mind me asking, what is most important to you about your birthday?"
A nice use of the magic question. I like that.
That is terrific, Tom. Thank you so much. There are so many questions pouring in here, but we've got to end this event. Todd, thank you so much for doing this. You were just terrific. And again, as long as the recording worked, which we hope and suspect that it did, we will be putting this up on the membership site within the next couple of days so that you can go back and watch everything and listen to everything again and take more notes if you missed any sections. I know we went kind of quickly at the end, but we value your time. Your time is very valuable, and we do have to cut this off now because we're already 15 minutes over.
Thank you, everyone. It was my honor to be able to help present this today. Again, you have control over this. Take action on it, and I look forward to hearing from you. Please feel free to send me messages. Send us messages. Letting us know how this is going for you. If you have any challenges as you're implementing your time management, let us know. As an Inner Circle member, you have access to us so you can ask us questions and keep yourself motivated going in the right direction. Implement that PTS time, set your goals, and you will take control. 2011 is yours to take, and years and years. I mean, these techniques will never change. These techniques you can implement forever, and it will change your life.
You can also send us emails with questions. We're happy to be of any help we can to you. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll talk to you again on our next event.